Open as we get set to receive God's word this morning. Dedication to God confers dominion. According to God's word, until a seed is sown, it abides alone. In John chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says that a seed, except it is sown, it abides alone. But he said, if it is sown, it will bring forth much fruit. It is dedication of the seed that procures its ultimate glorification. What becomes of your life and your destiny is a product of your dedication to God. In the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 33, the Bible paints a picture to us. It says that the kingdom of heaven can be likened unto a mustard seed, which is as the smallest of all seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up. It shoots up great branches, that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. He says, and this parable represents the pattern of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God demands the sowing of seed in order to emerge with greatness. When the life of an individual becomes dedicated to God, that individual's life begins to bear unimaginable fruit. For somebody here to this morning, I see your life becoming a seed that will bear fruit in the name of Jesus. Quickly this morning, what is dedication? What is dedication? Number one, dedication is self-denial in pursuit of the interest of the kingdom. It is self-denial. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 35. Look at what the Bible tells us here. It says that, and when he had called the people to him, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's dedication. Self-denial. Let him deny himself. It's important for us to understand this morning that until your discipleship costs you something, it cannot pay you anything. It is the cost of your followership of God that determines the return of your followership of God. Until it costs you something, it cannot pay you anything. That is why the word of God makes us understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, Paul the apostle speaking, he said, therefore I put my body under, he says, and I bring it into subjection. Verse 26 and 27, I put my body under and I bring it into subjection. There is a cost to pay. There is a price to pay. And that price is the price of self-denial. Until you are ready to deny yourself, you cannot claim to be dedicated in the kingdom. That is why the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3, it tells us there concerning everyone that is a steward of Christ, he said, we must learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That hardness represents our capacity to deny ourselves. You see, it is that ability to deny yourself that will determine how much you can be glorified by God. So it starts with self-denial. Number two, dedication is being dead to self and alive to God. Being dead to self and alive to God. That's dedication. Being dead to self and alive to God. Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul the apostle speaking, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, yet, not I, but it is Christ that lives through me. Being dead to self and alive to God. In Galatians 6 and verse 14, the Bible tells us there, Paul the apostle again speaking, Galatians 6 and verse 14, he said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. That is dedication. Being dead to self and alive to God. I see somebody here this morning receiving grace for dedication. Number three description of dedication is all about making one's life a seed unto God. And that is what empowers believers for generational impact. Making one's life a seed. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 22 and verse 30, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be counted unto the Lord for a generation. A seed shall serve him. Making your life a seed and planting your life in the kingdom and agenda of God. That's dedication. Making your life a seed. Now listen very carefully this morning. God's greatest desire is for you to give yourself to him. He said, my son, give me your heart. That is what God desires the most. Not your cash, but your heart. Your heart is God's topmost priority. My son, give me your heart. Let your life become a seed unto God. That is what dedication means. Now, you agree with me that a seed usually is the food of birds. Birds eat seeds, but birds live in trees. So what the bird will eat, if it is planted, becomes where the bird will live. You see, when your life looks insignificant, just plant it in God. Watch out. What used to consume you are the things that will come to consult you. When you are planted, when you are planted. For somebody here today, I see your life becoming a planted seed that will emerge as a glorious tree. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. I said, I see your life as a planted seed that will emerge as a glorious tree. If you believe it, say a louder amen. It's making your life a seed, making your life a seed, making your life a seed. And that is the secret behind generational impact. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3, the Bible tells us there, it said to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees. Trees which are the product of planted seeds. He said the planting of the Lord that he might be glorified. And what will happen to those planted trees? Verse 4, look at what the Bible says. It says, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities. The desolation of many generations. When your life becomes a planted seed, you are raised up for generational impact. For somebody hearing my voice this morning, as your life becomes a planted seed before God, you shall be raised for generational impact. There are trees that last hundreds and hundreds of years. I saw a particular tree that was cited somewhere, and it was said that that tree is over 1,700 years old. 1,000 generational impact. That is, you are planted and your planting keeps speaking year after year, generation after generation. There are some people hearing me this morning that 500 years from now, if Jesus tarries to come, your name will still be ringing bells. If you believe it, say louder amen. Number four. Dedication to God and the interest of the kingdom is the mystery behind the rise of giants. That is the mystery behind the rise of giants in this kingdom. So if you are going to see those that will rise as giants, it will show by their dedication. It is the mystery behind the rise of giants. How dedicated you are today determines how far you will rise tomorrow. It means that your present state is a prediction of your future state. If you are not dedicated today, you cannot rise as a giant tomorrow. It is the present dedication that will yield in the future glorification. If you are going to rise up as a giant, you must first go down in dedication as a servant. It is those who are dedicated to servant or to stewardship that will rise up in leadership. Please make no mistake about it. Life is not an adventure in luck, but an adventure in stewardship opportunities. Those who dive in taking advantage of every opportunity that presents itself for them in stewardship are the ones who rise up in leadership. What it means, therefore, is that there is no sense in waiting for luck. No, it is those who engage themselves through the process of dedication that will enjoy elevation to the point of becoming a giant. I see that becoming somebody's experience in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe it, say a loud amen.
Amen.
I said, if you believe it, say a loud amen.
Amen.
Now, quickly this morning, let us address something very important. What are the key areas of dedication? We have seen what dedication is, but what are the key areas? Where should I be dedicated? What are the directions in which I must commit myself in order to rise up as a giant that God has ordained for me to be? Now, before we get into that, let's take note of the following. That, you see, dedication to God and the interest of his kingdom must be taken as a business, just as Jesus did, so as to sustain our investment of time, energy, and resources. It must be taken as a business. Luke chapter 2 verse 49, Jesus said, "Do you not know I must be about my Father's business?" So it must be taken as a business. That is what will sustain your commitment of time, of energy, of resources. I see grace coming upon each one of us for business-like commitment in the name of Jesus. Now, what are the areas in which we must be dedicated? Number one, praying kingdom advancement prayers. Praying kingdom advancement prayers. The Bible makes us understand in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, "After this manner should you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That is praise, that is worship, that is appreciation, that's glorification. But what next? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The first priority in prayer is the advancement of the kingdom. The first priority in prayer is the advancement of the kingdom. Please, I'd like us to understand this morning that if you are going to go far in your adventure with God, you must recognize the necessity of engaging the platform of prayer for the advancement of the kingdom. You see, hear this and hear it very well. In this kingdom, you don't need to focus on personal demands. Your personal requests, God knows them already. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear to us. He said, "After all these things the Gentiles seek after, your Father knows that you have need of all these things." But in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things others are dying to get shall be added unto you." Hear this and hear it very well. If your personal request is long, it is because your spiritual engagement is low. If your personal request is long, it is because your spiritual engagement is low. "Oh Lord, give me this. Oh Lord, give me that. Oh Lord, bring me this. Oh Lord, bring me that." That is a demonstration of the fact that your spiritual engagement is low. When your spiritual engagement is high, your personal demands will be low. Why? Because God naturally brings to you what you would have gone to ask him to give to you. Every time you look at your prayer list, it is a picture of your spiritual state. Check it and check it very well. Our prayer demands must be focused on the kingdom. It is a depiction of our commitment and our state of dedication. This will help each one of us give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to the advancement of the kingdom. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostle said, "We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." We will give ourselves. We will commit ourselves. We will dedicate ourselves to prayer. Prayer should be the natural lifestyle of the believer. And that prayer is not focused on self. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. Commit yourself to the adventure of prayer. We are told in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he said, the Lord spoke this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is a platform for our stewardship. And when we do that, we position ourselves for return. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, he said, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray to your Father that sees in secret. And your Father that sees in secret shall reward you openly. So keep engaging. And that means that your prayer engagement cannot only be in the public. There are many of us that pray with everything within us when we are gathered together. But what happens when you are alone? If your prayer altar is silent before God, then you cannot emerge as a giant before men. Please hear this and hear it very well. If your prayer altar is silent before God, you cannot emerge as a giant before men. Keep engaging the altar of prayer. Pray for the salvation of souls. Pray for the establishment of souls. Pray for the services that you attend. Pray for the word of God to keep coming with power. Pray for signs and wonders to keep manifesting. Pray for the needs of others. We have too many prayer items to have a prayer altar remain silent. There are too many things to keep engaging concerning. You are in a home cell. Look around the home cell. What are the needs that you see of people around you? Pray for it. I hear this. It is not about going around announcing to people, brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm praying for you. Most people who say so are not praying. Prayer is not by announcement, it's by engagement. Engage on the altar of prayer. He said, your Father that sees you in secret will reward you openly. Please hear this. The altar of prayer has a number of different products. One, we must understand that in prayer we secure answers. But in praying, we secure changes. As you are praying, you are changing. So it is not only the answer to your prayer that is delivered, but your life in the process of praying is changed. No one that commits himself to praying remains the same. So engage yourself on the altar of prayer. Give yourself to the process of prayer. Shout hallelujah. Never be tired of engaging on the altar of prayer. Praying both corporately and praying also personally. Engaging in secret, and you'll find God rewarding you in the open. I see that becoming somebody's experience here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I see that becoming somebody's experience here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that becoming somebody's experience here. In the name of Jesus Christ. This is the season of strength. And that is why this must be the season of maximum engagement. It is our season of opportunity. So engage yourself practically in the process of prayer. Make sure that it becomes a lifestyle. Make sure it becomes your way of living. For somebody here today, I see that grace coming afresh upon you. You believe it, say a louder amen. Amen. I said, I see that grace coming afresh upon you. Amen. If you believe it, say a loud amen. Amen. Make it your way of living. Make it your way of living. Let your spirit man consistently be charged. You get around God's servant, the apostle, over this commission, you see him praying continuously, speaking in the spirit, speaking in his understanding, continuously engaging with heaven, speaking to God at all times. He's having a conversation with you and he switches over and has a conversation with God and switches back to continue with you and switches again to converse with God. That continuous switch over is what causes men to take over. For somebody here today, I see the grace coming afresh upon you. For a life of prayer. I said, I see that grace coming afresh upon you. For a life of prayer. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. So give yourself to prayer. Number two, passionate pursuit of souls. These are areas in which you must be dedicated. Be dedicated to the pursuit of the lost. Be committed to the pursuit of the lost. Jesus said in the book of John 15 and verse 16, you have not chosen me,
I've chosen you and I've ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. I have chosen you. I have ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. So every believer is ordained for fruit bearing. Every child of God is ordained for fruit bearing. You are ordained to be a fruitful believer. That means producing souls, bringing souls into the kingdom of God. That is what God has ordained for you and ordained for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. It says that if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. It says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He said, and as a result of that, he has given us the word of reconciliation. And for that purpose, we have become ambassadors of Christ to bring others to Christ. So everyone who is born again to become an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ, one that is committed to seeing souls saved. Please hear this and hear it very well. Everywhere you see men, where you see women, where you see boys, you see girls, let your heart be panting for their souls. Let your heart be panting for their souls. How do you feel in the office that you go when you see people who are living their lives contrary to God, knowing that they are going on their way to hell? Your heart will be panting for them. How can you stay inside a hostel where your dorm mates are on their way to hell and your heart does not care about it? Please hear this and hear it very well. Anyone that is genuinely dedicated is committed to going after the lost. The lost are to be pursued with passion. They are to be pursued with passion. Let it be your overwhelming drive. Let it be your overwhelming commitment. You see, it is our commitment to this great commandment that will bring us to the point of being commanders on the earth. I see grace coming upon each one of us today to emerge as committed soul winners in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe it, say loud amen. I said somebody believe it, say loud amen. So give yourself to the process of soul winning. Give yourself to it. Give yourself to it. Be committed to it. Be committed to it. Don't be comfortable watching people who are not in Christ. Everywhere you are, let your heart be panting after the lost as a lifestyle. Let it be your practical lifestyle. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. This is what makes a difference in our adventure. By the grace of God, every time myself and my team, we go out like that, we go out mostly on our outreaches. Most of the time, those outreaches we go for about 6 hours before returning. By the time we return, coming back with the harvest of souls, returning with joy, celebrating God for the privilege. I keep telling them every time we are going, don't forget, those we are ministering to, we could have been the one they are ministering to now. What a privilege. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. You are going there seeing individuals who are lost in the world. Thank God you are found. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. So do it with all joy. Shout hallelujah. Do it with all joy. Keep diving out every opportunity that you get. Every opportunity that you get. Going after the lost. You see, all of this is a demonstration of our dedication unto God. I pray for somebody here today that the grace to become dedicated to soul winning come afresh upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, I pray that grace will come afresh upon us in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say louder, amen. I said, you believe it, say louder, amen. That's what it takes. Remaining dedicated, remaining committed, continuously advancing the kingdom of God. I see it always as a privilege. Every time I go, no matter how it is that my sister, my body may feel, I see it as a privilege. To go out again for Jesus, representing him to the heathen, to bring them to Jesus. It's a privilege. It's a joy. So I stand every time we go, going to about 5 different locations, preaching the gospel continuously. Seeing men saved. And by the privilege and the grace of God, to the glory of God and God alone. This year, we have seen more than 6,000 souls that God brought to us in various outreaches everywhere. Going day after day. Please hear this and hear very well. You see, the stories we hear from those ahead of us are to provoke us. They are to steer us. to dive after what we are seeing in front of them. Shout hallelujah. I remember some years ago, God's servant stood and began to speak and was sharing testimonies of souls being won. I said, Lord, that number he mentioned, I can't get it now, but give me a tithe of that number. Give me 10% of it. You see, I love how Bishop Abe used to put it. He said, the elephant that will pull a tree down tomorrow must first pull a shrub down today. If you won't pull a shrub down today, there is no tree to pull down tomorrow. So be provoked. Refuse to stay where you are. Refuse to stay at the level where you find yourself. By the grace of God, I've not been at the same level 2 years running in soul winning engagement. Not once. It has been going up year after year, year after year. Hear this and hear it very well. That's why you and I must be serious about our pursuit of God. I see grace coming upon us afresh for this. In the name of Jesus Christ. What else? Number three is engagement with follow-up of converts. And we are youths. Am I talking to you this morning? I said, am I talking to you this morning? If we are youth, we are doing all of this at the same time. Why? God has given us all the strength at this time. We are doing all of this at the same time. Continuously going after the lost, following up after them. These are all our responsibilities. Be dedicated to follow up of our converts. The Bible makes clear to us in the book of Acts 15 verse 36, Paul the apostle said to Barnabas, let us go to all the places we have preached and visit all of our brethren there and see how they do. Let us see how they do. Going back after those that we have ministered to, that is one of the areas in which you and I must be dedicated. Paul the apostle speaking in the book of Galatians 4 verse 19, he put it this way, my little children, whom I travail again in birth, until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. Go after your converts. Ensure they attend foundation class. Ensure they begin to attend midweek service, Sunday service. Ensure that they are in WSF meetings. Make sure you are following them up. Making sure they are plugged into a service unit. Making sure that they are plugged into home cell. Just making sure they are everywhere they ought to be in the church. So they can take root downward and begin to bear fruit upward. Amen. We must be committed to following up on our converts. Be committed to following up on our converts. So it's not enough to go out and win souls and come back with a list and be rejoicing over the list. That is step one. After that, they must come into the church. They must go into foundation class. They must take root downwards and also begin to bear fruit upwards. That is what God has ordained for us. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. This is very important. So you and I must ensure that we commit ourselves to seeing our converts followed up. To seeing our converts followed up to the point of establishment. And you have markers for their establishment. Have they attended foundation school? It's marker one. Have they now begun attending services? It's marker two. Are they now in WSF meeting? You keep putting stages and milestones. Are they now bringing others to Christ? Then you can say, yes, this is now an established soul. That is what God expects of us. And I see grace coming upon each one of us for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe it, say a loud amen. I said, if you believe it, say a loud amen. If you believe it, say the loudest amen. So engage with the follow-up of your converts. Number four is commitment to any service unit of our choice. Don't just be a floating believer. Hear this, I hear very well. Most of the time, people who are complainers in church are the ones who are not engaged in anything. They usher you into the church, you complain. Look at how he ushered me. It's because you haven't ushered before. They greeted you, say, didn't greet you well. It's because you haven't greeted before. Somebody is singing, say, look at how he's singing. The voice is just going like this. You haven't sang before. Those who are busy serving are not they are not given to, you know, to baseless observations. When you find a believer who is continuously complaining, it is likely that he's not serving. It's likely, and I'm not talking about belonging to a service unit, I'm talking about serving in the service unit. There are those who carry badge everywhere, but they are doing nothing. Everywhere, they carry their badge everywhere, but they are doing nothing. Fold their hands and look at everybody else. You see? Look at how he's doing it. Is that how to do it? It's because he hasn't done anything before. Please hear this. This is the time for stewardship. By the privilege of God, I started serving in service unit from children's church. In this church. From children's church. I was an usher in children's church. I was in the choir in teens church. I was an usher in the main church. That has been my life from time by privilege. Serving continuously. Serving continuously. I remember years ago, I was taking a course in a particular part of the world, and I got there and there was nowhere to serve. So myself and a friend of mine, we started our own service unit. We're only the only two people in the unit. Only two of us. But we're serving there. We're serving there. We stand at the door. As people come, we greet them. Those who come with children and so forth, and they are struggling with their vehicles, we take the car, park it for them, keep the key for them, wait until service finishes, go and bring the car to them, open the door for them, make sure everybody is settled in the car, greet them, bye-bye. We start, only two of us were in that unit from start to finish. Any day we are not around, the unit is not around. Shout hallelujah. Be known for your stewardship. The pastor never knew my name. All he knew, I remember the friend of mine told me, he said, he came one day and said, where is that brother that used to stand here? He only knew me for serving. Stop looking for people to know your name. Start seeking for people to know you for serving. He didn't even call me by my name. They don't need to know your name. Let them know you for serving. That is the pathway to glowing on the earth. I see somebody here receiving grace for it in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say louder, amen. I said, if you believe it, say louder, amen. So it is not too early to start serving. Serve with all your might today. And watch God lift you to glorious heights tomorrow. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus Christ. Number five is engagement with WSF operations. Being a part of the home cell. Being engaged as a steward. Please hear this. This is one of the responsibilities we must take delight in. We must take delight in. It's your opportunity to keep growing. So take delight in it. Make sure you are actively engaged in a home cell. Are you a minister? Are you a secretary? Are you an assistant minister? Don't just sit down there. It amazes me. You will find some individuals in home cell. You are youth and they say, take a prayer point. Pastor, can somebody else do the prayer point? What are you doing? This is your time of opportunity. Dive into it. Dive into it. Take it with all your heart. Shout hallelujah. Be active in your engagement. Be active in your engagement. Shout hallelujah. Make sure that you are actively pursuing. You heard the testimony of Matthew Goldojo, how that he kept engaging a 19-year-old boy in a home cell, but he engaged with all his heart. And God took him out of the country today, sitting down with the president of his university, having a meal with him, having discussions with him. Look at the person who did not have enough money to buy jam form. God changed his story by serving. Now hear this. It's so important. Hear this and hear very well. Nobody may see you in that corner, but keep serving there. Nobody may see you in that corner, but keep serving there. It is a matter of time. They will not be able to ignore you. Your somebody's story here is changing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number six,
is financial investment at our various levels. Financial investment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it said that God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that we always with all sufficiency may abound to every good work. So our resources are expected to be utilized for good works. Good works. Good works. Good works. Engaging what God has put in your hand through your giving for good works. Giving to the kingdom, giving for kingdom projects, paying your tithe, engaging your resources to bless others. That is what God has given you blessings for. And please hear this. There is no stage in life where you cannot be a blessing to somebody else. No stage. Don't tell me, oh, pastor, what I have is not enough. No. A giver is a giver at every level. A stingy man is a stingy man at every level. Is somebody getting it? Because this one that you are, even your food you are eating, you are hiding when you are eating it. That's not how to be a giver. Somebody comes to greet you in the where you are, and then you push the plate, and the entire place aroma is filling everywhere. You know something is happening there. Say with me, I will be a giver. I've heard the testimony of Nkechi Coker. She gave to advance the kingdom of God, and God decorated her. God will decorate you. I said, God will decorate you. So at your level, pay your tithe. At your level, give your offering. At your level, look for people to bless. It's what makes a difference. That's what makes a difference in a person's life. To the glory of God, personally, what I use to take care of my family is less than one third of what I give. I'm a family man with wife and children. And what I use to take care of the entire family is less than one third. It's less than a third of what I give to the kingdom to bless the needy continuously. And I don't lack one thing. So this one that you are eating with 10 fingers is not the way to go upward. I see somebody here receiving grace for liberality. Now, what happens when you become dedicated? We'll take a few points quickly and we pray. One, open rewards. Open rewards. You are rewarded openly. Matthew 6:6. God who sees in secret will reward you openly. Number two, divine protection. Divine protection. When the 70 went forth, he said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Number three, divine honor. Divine honor. Divine honor. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And number four, the rise of giants. For somebody here today, the giant in you is rising. I said, the giant in you is rising. Lift your hand to heaven this morning. Lord, I receive grace to be dedicated. I receive grace to be dedicated. I receive grace today to be dedicated, to live a dedicated life. I receive that grace. Pray that prayer from the depth of your heart. Lord, I receive grace to be dedicated in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Every passiveness comes to an end in your life in the name of Jesus. By this encounter today, the grace for selfless service, for dedication to God and His kingdom, comes afresh upon you. And every reward of dedication becomes your portion in the name of Jesus. So shall it be in Jesus' precious name. Give Jesus a big hand of praise.